testimony here. Kenny, would you come on?
When I was a little boy, of course, I grew up in the 50s. Most of you understand that. I was 50s, 60s. And during that time, there wasn't as many things in the house as far as candies and ice cream and all that. Now, we had some. I don't want to pretend like we didn't. Do any of you remember how... My parents made popsicle sticks. You remember that? You remember how they did that? They would take ice trays. I know some of you have never seen an ice tray, but there really was such a thing. And they'd take ice trays. My mother would make Kool-Aid. Now your popsicle could be as sweet as your mother's amount of sugar she put in. You understand? And my mother always put plenty of sugar and stuff, and she would fill up the ice tray. And sometimes she might put a stick in it, but oftentimes it would just be like that. And you'd go in, you'd open up the ice tray, and you'd get out little cubes of, Kool-Aid. That's all it was. We called it popsicles. And sometimes she'd actually buy a popsicle, you know. And you'd have a couple popsicles in the freezer. And I can remember going in the house saying, "Mom, can I have a popsicle?" Or it might have been candy or whatever. I said, "Mom, can I have a popsicle?" She said, "Now, Gerald, now there's a number of other kids here. And we might have had neighbor kids or cousins or somebody. And we'd be all playing out in the yard." And she said, "And I don't have enough for everyone. And unless I have enough for all of them, we're not any of us going to get any." Now, that's how it happened in my house. I don't know how it happened in your house. You might have snuck around, didn't say anything, got off in the corner somewhere and ate it, but not in my house. Yeah, not in my house. My mother believed that if you got it, everybody got it. If it was something that was there for the family, for the friends, everyone got it. This morning, as I sat and listened to the worship and the singing, I thought about the things that God gives to everyone, the promises that are given for all of us, for all of us. Now, I'm thankful for those promises. And as I sat there, I looked at some of them. Some of them were wonderful promises, and some of them are warning promises. And I'd like to talk to you about what God has for all of us. For all of us. Firstly, I would point you to a very familiar area of Scripture where the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And when I read that, I see a picture of God's love and grace given to all, available for anyone and everyone. And again, I believe that some of us find that very difficult in life because we run into people, we bump into people that oftentimes causes hurt and pain and sorrow and difficulty. And we'd like to think that God won't give to them what He would give to us. You know, most of us think we're fairly good people. Most of us believe that, you know, we might even be better than some other folks. I guarantee you today, have you ever driven through town on Wednesday night or on Sunday morning? Or on Sunday night? There are far more people out there than there are in here. And that's true with all of our congregations in our community. And some of those people out there, you understand what they're doing on nights like this. Nothing good. I mean, they are fighting and cussing and ranting and raving, and life is bad, parents are mistreating children. Children are mistreating parents. Alcohol, drug addictions, all of those things are going on. And that is all over the place. And oftentimes you and I may drive in and we may see some of those people. Go down by the skateboard park on Wednesday night in good weather. And oftentimes there are more kids there than there are here. And my friend, sometimes it would be easy to say, surely God wouldn't want to give to them what he gave to us. I mean, look at us. Pretty good folks. Come to church on Sunday. We do the religious things. Read our Bibles sometimes. Listen to a few gospel songs when we're driving in our car. We're doing some of those good things. But the Bible says that God loved the entirety of the world. Everyone. Everyone. All of us are given the privilege of salvation. And by the way, I need to say this very clearly. The Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that every one of us are just like all of them. Do you understand that? Every one of us needed a Savior. None of us were so good that we had it all worked out and that we were the perfect people that God looked at and saw and needed for Him. No, we were them. What was it? One of the comic strip characters said, "I saw the enemy and they are us." Something like that. Friend, they are us before we received Jesus' forgiveness. And you and I ought to never forget that truth. Because God loved all the world and He provided salvation for all of the world and anyone. And by the way, there's another scripture that gives us a picture of that reality. And it goes like this in 1 Peter 3:9. "It is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Isn't that amazing? I think that's 2 Peter 3:9. And that means that His will is not for anyone to die without Him, but that all should come to repentance. So, here's the biblical picture for you and I to see. God looks into the world and He sees everyone and He knows all the things that go on in our lives. He understands our hatreds, the prejudices that people have. He understands the anger, the ill feelings, the meanness, the horrible pieces. He sees the adulteries, the lies, the murders. He sees it all. And it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that another amazing truth? It's not His will that anyone, regardless of who they are and what they've done, regardless of how deep in sin or how shallow in sin they may have gone, it matters not, because this loving, living God, this one that breathed the breath of life into the very first man, this one that spoke the worlds into existence, looked and saw us, and still did not desire for us to be lost. Kenny talking about his situation in life, his lifestyle. And he looked at it, and he saw it, and Kenny knew what it was, but so did God. Nothing was hidden. And still yet, it was his will that all should have repentance. And so you and I, in our lives, when we have all the things take place, and those of you that have not even turned to Christ yet, it's not his will that you perish, but that you have repentance given or provided for you so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be made whole, so that you could be the man or woman that God would have you to be, so that you could enjoy the things that God has prepared for you in heaven and in life. Christians, could you not testify of the great change in life that takes place with Jesus? Could you not stand and tell us about the difference in you? You may say, I still have a few bumps that have to be worn off. I may have some rough spots that need to be smoothed out. But let me tell you about the wonders of Christ for my life. Let me tell you about the one who forgave me of my sins. Let me tell you how I heard the message and how I heard the truth about God and about the wonders of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about this one that has promised his forgiveness and that has given it to me. And let me tell you about the burden and of the guilt that has been removed, about the realization that I belong to him and that I'm his forever and I'll walk with him when this life is over. Let me tell you about what Jesus gave to me. Because you see, as he gave it to me in one hand, so he has it for you in the other. Everyone can receive what he has. It's not his will that you perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will that you be lost, but that you be saved. It's not his will that you miss out on the glories of heaven and live in the horrors of hell. That is not his will for any of you. For any of you. And for any of them. It's not his will. In 1 John 1:9, we read that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the sin that you can't forgive yourself for. The sin that the devil seems to bring up in the morning when you get up and you stand in front of the mirror and he reminds you of it. The sin that as you lay your head down on your pillow at night that comes to your mind and you know about and you think about what you have done and how you have acted. The sin that you're reminded of when you see a certain person or go to a certain place. Even that sin can be cleansed. Even that sin. You see, all the sin, all of it, nothing left behind. Last night, the Reynolds were over at our house, and Ruth showed Hope and Steve her Elvis room. Now, those of you that haven't seen it, you have no clue. When Hope came down the steps in the basement, I watched her and she looked at it and she went, I almost shot Elvis one day down there, but I don't think about it the same way she does. And Ruth was showing around, and all of a sudden she said, Gerald, behind the counter thing that she has, she said, look, what's that? And there was a spot, a big brown spot about that big on our floor. And I looked at it, and I said, I don't know. And I said, one minute I'll go get a rag. And I went and got a rag, and it was real sticky. And we said, where'd that come from? I looked at the ceiling. There wasn't anything there. Now, she has shelves all around the room. All around the room. A shelf that goes all the way around. And on that shelf, she set all kinds of stuff. Little cars, you know. It has to be 50s cars, you understand. Coca-Cola stuff, Elvis stuff, whoever, whatever, something from the 50s, 60s. It's all there. Games, you know. Monopoly Elvis. Monopoly Elvis. Who cares, you know? She's never opened it, you know. It's sitting there. They only made 80 million of them. And, you know, in 6,000 years, they'll be worth something. But, and there it is. And she's looking and she says, Gerald, what about those Coke cans? You know, little Coke cans of Coke. And I got the chair and we saw a little line coming down from under, around the edge of the shelf. And I got up and sure enough, there was the rest of it. That Coke had congealed, I guess, and ate the bottom, I guess, out of the bottom of that can. A hole got in it, something, I don't know. I didn't do it, I know that. I know that. Thank God I didn't do it, you know. And so I kind of cleaned that up, and I cleaned it up off the floor. And her floor, the floor is a black and white tile pattern. And it was on the white, it couldn't have been on the black part, you know. It was on the white part. And I cleaned it up, and there was a stain there. And maybe I'm going to get 409 or something and squirt it and maybe cut out the square and forget about it. I don't know. And try to get all that stain out. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. No stains left. No stains left. The blood of Jesus, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh my. Do you see that picture that God gives us? All of them. All of them. All of them. All the stains that are on your heart. All the stains that are in your mind. All the things that seem to have marked you. He cleanses them. Oh, by the way. For everybody that wants it. All of you. No limited amount. I only got enough for four people here, so you can't have any. No, he's kind of like my mom. Look, I got enough for everybody. Everybody come and get this. Now, it's not his fault if you don't come. It's not his fault if you won't get out of the yard and go in the house and ask, say, give me that stain remover of the blood of Christ that you have. It's not his fault. So anybody and everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you're like, no matter where you came from, the stain can be removed. The stain can be removed. You can be cleansed and made whole. You can be made new. That's why the Bible talks about a new birth. It talks about a new nation. It talks about a new people. It talks about you and I who can be the very people of God, and we are made new. All the stains gone. But he goes on with some of the alls that he talked about. The Bible says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ in Romans 14. And it tells us very clearly, and I believe it's verse 10, it tells us very clearly that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I told you about all the good things. Now, the rest of it's only good for those who belong to Jesus. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ. Now, again, I'm not 100% for sure about this, but in my mind, I kind of see it go something like this. Jesus looks at those who are His, and He says, no stains. My devotions this morning, I read through the Bible, and so I'm in the book of Leviticus. You ever read about the leprosy parts there, where how they cleanse leprosy? It's not your top 10 reading list, okay? But it talks about if there's leprosy in skin, a skin of an animal, something like that, or cloth, and they would see the spot, and they would take it to the priest, and the priest would look at it, and if it had a certain look to it, he would set it, basically quarantine it for a week, for 7 days. Then they'd bring it back, and if it had spread, it was leprous, and they would burn it. If it had not spread, though, he would take and he would cut the bad spot out and remove it. God will remove all your sins. And when he looks at you in the judgment day, the stains, the sin will be removed. And he will look at you differently, because he will see the blood of Christ. Not a stain, but a cleansing agent that comes from God. But, all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And here, he will see those that still have the sin, that still have the stain. You cannot escape that moment. You cannot hide from that. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye shall behold him, even those that pierced him. And then it says, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. The cries. Jesus talked about weeping and gnashing of teeth. The writer of Revelation talks about the wailing. Those who are not seen as his, all of them. No, your son or your daughter that you love dearly will not be excused. No, just because you go to church won't get it. No. Oh, that nice man down the street. No. That rotten no good. We all say, yeah, no. That good no good. No. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You can't hide. The book of Revelation, I believe is the 6th chapter, says that they will cry for the mountains to fall on them. Hide us from the eyes of Him that sees us. No. No hiding place. None. None. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 25th chapter of Matthew, the 32nd verse, it says this: "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." All nations. Oh yeah. China? Yeah. Yeah. Bolivia? Yeah. Iceland? Yeah. Sweden? Yeah. Japan? Yeah. The United States? Yeah. All nations. "And He shall separate them. The sheep will be set on the right hand, the goats will be set on the left." All. 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 Oh yeah. You're 12 years old? Yeah, you too. 16? You got it. 60? Yeah. 85? Yeah. Ruth's grandfather lived to be 102? Yeah. All. As I read through the Bible, and I look at the alls that are given, He loves all of us. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His blood can cleanse all unrighteousness. But we all will stand before the judgment seat. And we all will go through the separation. And we all will go into eternity. We all will. Since you'll be there, tell me, will you enjoy your eternity? Or will you weep through it? And will you cry through it? Know this right now. The decision you make at this moment will determine that. So I ask you, since you will stand in the judgment seat, which side will you be on in eternity? Will the blood of Jesus Christ have been applied? Or will the stain still be there? Father, we all sit in this room right now. And we all will be held accountable for this time. And we all will stand before your judgment seat. And we all will be involved in the separation day. And we all will go into eternity. And you sent your Son so that we all could be forgiven, and so that we all could have our sins cleansed from our lives, and so that we all could be made new, and so that we all could celebrate the wonders of heaven, and so that we all would be able to declare you as our Father and our Savior. And I wonder, Father, whether all of us in this room will be able to celebrate that.
or whether there aren't some here who will be lost forever. May this be the day where they come to you and seek the forgiveness that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?